I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 23 years in business. Barry, can you imagine that?
23 years, wow.
We've known each other a long time. And just entering our 10th year of doing open line programs, we have a few new exciting changes. First, we have a brand new 2017 open line format that comes with our launching of our brand new website, which just went up the other week or so. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. Over the 10-year period, we've covered so many different topics. So whatever's going on in your company, you can pretty much bet there's an open line program on it. Plus, our second book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. And in 2018, and Barry is not aware of this yet, we have our third book coming out. And Barry was responsible, by the way, for our very first book, Cracking the Personality Code. And this new book is going to be called Cracking the Team Building Code. And it's very exciting. And then another 30 days, we're going to be offering skills testing through Lighthouse. So we have a lot going on at Lighthouse Consulting Services. Our topic today is using social media for recruiting. Five key points. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, so we're going to jump right into this topic. For those of you who join us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments and raising the hiring bar and assisting companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops, and much more. Also, we have an office in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for the folks over there or provide any ideas of how to interact with a U.S.-based company, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is always in response to the calls we get and requests from clients both domestically and globally to address the various business issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion. We'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest, so you might want to write down a couple of questions or submit them either way. I'm very excited to welcome back a close friend, business colleague, Barry Deutsch. Barry is also the author of a book that I call The Bible of Hiring. And if you don't have this book, it's entitled You're Not the Person I Hired. It's on the web screen, and if you don't have it, got to get it because it covers everything from A to Z. Barry is a well-known thought leader in hiring and peak performance management. He is a frequent and sought-after speaker for management meetings, trade associations and CEO forums such as Visis International, a worldwide CEO membership organization with more than 22,000 CEOs and senior executives. Many of Barry's clients view him as their virtual chief talent officer. Barry is also frequently asked to present Impact Hiring Solutions' award-winning program on hiring, retention, and motivating top talent, and leverages a vast knowledge based on over 30 years in the executive search field with a track record of successful placements in multi-billion dollar Fortune 100 companies, entrepreneurial firms, and middle market high growth businesses. He's worked closely with thousands of CEOs and key executives to help improve hiring success, leverage human capital, and raise the bar on talent acquisition. Barry earned his BA and MA from American University in Washington, D.C. Prior to his executive search career, Barry held positions of responsibility in finance and general management with Mattel, Beatrice Foods, and Westinghouse Cable. I'm just so grateful that Barry is going to be spending time with us today on this very hot topic. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be planning for the next recession now? And it's going to be a panel discussion, which segues perfectly into what we had just been talking about. Today, we're not going to be showing slides. Barry's going to be sharing his wisdom. So we want to take lots of notes, and we'll also be sending the recording in the next couple of days. So, Barry, welcome back to Open Line. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Dana, thank you very much. It's like we have a mutual admiration society for each other. I appreciate that very warm introduction. I guess if you hear it enough times, you start to believe it about yourself. unfortunately, this is not, because there's so many people on the call, it's not an interactive back and forth of workshop that I typically will conduct for companies or organizations. This is more me talking. I'm going to throw out, 88 different ideas that you can think about in rapid-fire form. But I want to use this time for the next maybe 40, 45 minutes to kind of challenge your thinking, give you some thoughts. Some of these things you may already be doing. Some of these things you may not have thought about. But clearly the wave is to be, as a, let's say, an arrow in your quiver, to be more effective around social recruiting, whether that's doing things with your website, doing things through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, but to be more active in that space to engage, particularly the millennials and some of the younger generations who that's their primary form of communication and learning about job opportunities. So we'll kind of provide a framework for how we might want to do that. Dana talked a little about five different things, and so here's what I would hope we could do with each other in this time we have. Number one. Talk about how can social media actually leverage recruiting, sourcing, finding people. Talk a little about it, but what are the right methods to use and the right techniques to find outstanding talent, not just get anybody to raise their hand and come forward. How do you quickly, easily, and simply do this without making it, turning it into task forces, large, cumbersome efforts, hiring expensive outside consultants to do it for you? We'll talk a little about, how do we make it a process for all positions, as opposed to recreating the wheel every time we have to go out and hire a new role, whether it's at a custodial level, a supervisory level, a team lead, or a senior executive. And then how do we move it to a just-in-time level? One of the greatest frustrations I think that companies have is they start the process too late, meaning when someone resigns, quits, or we have an immediate need to hire someone, now we have to rush out and immediately try to find someone who's available that's great at that precise moment. And that's almost an impossible task past the point of luck and hope. The key is, how do you create, and I know these words have been kicked around the human resource field for a long time, talent pools. How do you find out before you need to hire who's the very best, furnace operator in the local area for our heat treating plant or whatever the role might be? How do we already know who those folks are? And social media becomes a great way to begin a dialogue and engagement and interaction to start to build those talent pools in advance of when you actually need to make the hires. Dana, jump in at any point if you have a question or a thought or want to, if people are using a chat function to post their questions.
Will do. Please, we want to make this interactive, so if you have questions along the way, please put them in the chat box, and then we'll field those. And again, once Barry completes in another 40 minutes or so, we'll open up the line for a live discussion.
So let me just throw out, thanks, Dana. So let me just throw out some ideas. What's your biggest concern or frustration with the idea of starting an active social recruiting process? What are you concerned about? And this might be something you want to throw out in, the chat box, or think about posting a question right now so Dana can start to put those together. But let me frame this up with a few ideas. Number one, how is social recruiting different than traditional approaches to recruiting? What's your dominant method you use right now? If I asked all my clients across the country what's your dominant method of recruiting, their answer would probably be, we post a generic job description on a generic job board. Now, this is a technique that was very popular in the middle of the recession and very effective. As I said before, lots of people out of work, very few jobs. You were overwhelmed with the number of responses. Today, it's completely dysfunctional. I call the technique of posting job descriptions on job boards post and pray. We stick it out there for all of humanity to see, and then we hope that by some miracle, the right candidate is going to just drop out of the rafters into our lap. And given the current job market and where it's going in a hyperextended framework, it just doesn't happen. And it's going to happen less and less. So we have to come up with other methods and techniques of getting the right people to the table. Traditional hiring typically fails to bring the right people to the table because we end up fishing in the shallow end of the pool. We skim the surface and essentially look at whoever raises their hand, we consider that to be part of our candidate pool who ends up at our doorstep. And the reality is the very best are not in the shallow end of the pool. They're in the deep end of the pool. You have to work very hard to shake them loose. You have to use a crowbar to get them to come forward. And it's a lot of nurturing, seduction, interaction, engagement, building a relationship until they trust you enough to want to come forward and even submit a resume. What are the kind of obstacles you might face before we can even start using social media? Whether, again, it's, you know, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, email campaigns, inbound marketing techniques, all these things that are being used in the sales, business development, and prospecting world, how can we bring some of those to recruiting? My favorite line to tell my clients is that some of these social media techniques are extraordinary techniques for sales, business development, and prospecting for potential clients. The problem is they're long-term strategies. They don't yield immediate impact for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. Recruiting, using these techniques for recruiting, is immediate payback. Literally in 3 months, you could justify the investment of whatever funds you spend and effort because all you got to do is get one hire, and you've just justified using it. And if you can extend it across a couple of hires, then it becomes a very effective strategy.
Oh, Barry Sun mentioned several people are just signing in now. And this presentation, there aren't any slides today, but we are recording the program. And also, Barry, question came in regarding LinkedIn, and I'm sure you're going to be covering that later today too.
I am. And as a special bonus with your Ginzu knife set, if you're interested and you want the slide deck that I'm using, as I have a full slide deck that I use to teach this program, and the slide deck is 3 hours of a presentation. I'm doing this in about a 45-minute overview, but if you'd like a copy of the PDF of the slide deck, please email me directly, and I will be glad to send that to you. It's in a notes format, so there's the slide with a couple of key bullet points, and then below the slide is extensive notes, ideas, strategies, tactics, recommendations. You could almost use it as a bolt-on guideline to building a social recruiting platform. My email address, if Dana hasn't shared that yet,
it's on their screen, Barry.
It's on the screen. So all you have to do is email me at barry@impacthiringsolutions.com, and I will be glad to send you a copy of that of the slide presentation.
Oh, thank you.
Really, yep,
awesome.
My pleasure. Okay, so just a little overview, some things to think about. Let's kind of jump into this this process. Number one, how do we actually recruit top talent using social media? Number two, how do we create an infrastructure to do it so it's just not willy-nilly, random, arbitrary, and chaos? How do we actually build a process, a system, and an infrastructure to support it? Number three, how do we broadcast our job opportunity to the right groups? How do we identify, number four, specific candidates and target individuals that we would like to recruit? How do we leverage, as number five, social networking? Number six, how do we nurture candidates and potential candidates to stick their arm up in the air and come forward, as number six? And then number seven, how do we rinse and repeat? How do we make it the same process for every opening? So that's what I'd like to do in about the next 30 minutes with you. Obviously, we're just kind of touching the surface. We're just scratching it. If you'd like to discuss this in more depth, I'm glad to have a short phone conversation with you. I have a lot of material ideas, and as I said, I'm glad to send you, if you'd like, the slide deck as a starting point. Cycle of recruiting. This is the rinse and repeat piece. So number one, I think you should broadcast your job. It's make sure that you're casting a wide enough net, and this is beyond advertising on generic job boards. We're going to talk about how specifically and some ideas around broadcasting the job opportunity. If there are candidates out there that are open to leaving their current role, and I'm going to suggest to you that's 50% of all candidates for any given job. You're trying to hire a marketing analyst in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 50% of the potential candidates out there are open to learning about a new opportunity. That doesn't mean they're answering ads. Our goal is to make sure that that group becomes aware of our opportunity, even if they're not looking at ads or very frequently looking at them. How do we create that broadcast? That's strategy number one. Number two, we want to target specific candidates at companies in the geography we're seeking who are doing exactly what we're looking for them to do and go after those folks, even if they're not looking for a job. This is what typically is called passive recruiting, and it plays a role in the process. I think of recruiting and sourcing as a continuum or a series of steps. You start with the least expensive, least time-consuming step, and then you just keep escalating one step at a time to more effort, more investment, more intentional direction until you find the candidate you're looking for, because at the end of the day, you still have to hire that person. Hopefully, you get it done at the very front end when it's easy, it's inexpensive, and you didn't have to invest a lot of time. Some roles are more difficult to hire, and you have to move through this entire process. So I've gone through broadcasting the job, targeting specific candidates, gaining an introduction, beginning to engage. The next step is, how do we continue the relationship? That's the idea of publishing and pushing content to them, these candidates you're interacting with in the social media world, social recruiting. It's not enough just to have a contact. Like I teach to companies how to use this in sales and prospecting and business development. It's irrelevant that you have 12,000 connections on LinkedIn. Nobody cares. They're just passively sitting there. The key is to engage with that community, that group, that talent pool on an ongoing basis so that you're sharing information back and forth and beginning a dialogue that when you have an opening or you want people to raise their hand, you already know who those folks are. And that takes an active process of continual engagement. And then you just want to keep nurturing that over and over, and then rinse and repeat. And you keep the cycle up until you begin to develop talent pools or groups of people in the different, most common areas that you hire for. Granted, you're always going to have a one-off. We're going to hire a director of engineering for this specific unique area that there's only 12 people nationally who could do it. That's a one-off project. But for most hiring, you want to build these pools and be able to engage and have a flow of candidates, almost like what we would call in the sales arena, like a sales funnel of folks that are moving through that funnel. Okay, so what are some of the key steps? First, we want to understand what motivates top talent. Why do they even leave their jobs? What do they look for in new jobs? And this is a general recruiting concept, but we're going to use it when we get to the piece of actually leveraging social media. Number two, we want to change how we convey to the outside world what our opportunity is. As I said, the traditional process is, and many of you probably are snickering about this, is we take a generic job description and let it masquerade as a compelling, exciting reason for you to join our company. That job description is not compelling. It is an internal, compliant, regulatory, back office, administrative document used in human resources. It gets stuck up on a shelf. It collects dust. We pull it down once a year and review it, if that often. It is a disgusting, revolting, repulsive tool to try to attract people to a job. Many people will tell me, just go ahead and tell us exactly how you feel, Barry. Most candidates that see job descriptions masquerading as an ad take their hand and put it down. They're bored and they're turned off. You never even get to see the very best. By posting generic job descriptions on generic job boards, what you attract is everybody else's rejects, retreads, dysfunctional, toxic individuals. And your job, your recruiting process degenerates into only bringing forward the bottom third of the candidate pool. Now, granted, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you find a diamond in the rough. There's an old adage in the recruiting field that goes something like, even a blind squirrel gets a nut sometimes. That's very true. So we do want to still use advertising as one of our techniques, but instead of putting 90% of our effort into it, maybe at most it's 5% of our effort. There are much better ways to bring great people to the table and to excite folks. So the second thing we have to do once we understand what motivates folks, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, is how to describe work in more compelling terms. Number three is recognizing where do people come from? What are the different kinds of pools of folks? And then what are some of those best practices in sourcing to get to those people? So let's first talk about what motivates people to look for a job. And one of the things that I've discovered over 30 years is there's one dominant thing that motivates people to take a new job or leave their current company. And the word is opportunity. If I couch this in the words of one of the greatest management authors that ever wrote about this stuff, back in the 40s and 50s, the word would be self-actualization. And people leave when they don't feel they're being self-actualized. You may recall reading in a very basic entry-level management class about a gentleman by the name of Abraham Maslow. Maslow defined a theory called the hierarchy of needs. You'll recall he used a pyramid to convey his model. He talked about how everybody at the lower levels checks off things like compensation, housing, security, safety. But the very best, he said, rise to the top of this pyramid, this capstone. And he called the capstone self-actualization. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to feel like I'm adding value here. I want to be excited about getting out of bed in the morning and coming to work. I want to enjoy the people I'm working with. I want to be learning from them. I want to be learning from my boss. I want to get better at what I do over time. That's self-actualization. Everybody at some core level wants that. Great talent wants a lot of it, okay? And so understanding that, bringing the right person to the table. Once we understand that, then our next question becomes, where do people come from? And they come from four distinct groups. Group number one is the aggressive candidate. This is the individual that you get most likely when you run a generic job, a description on a generic job board. They're actively seeking a new role. They're either unemployed or they desperately want to get out where they are or they're failing miserably. So he said sometimes luck plays a role and you get a good person, but on average it's full of very mediocre, average people, rejects, retreads, dysfunctional, toxic folks who can't hold a job. That's what we bring to the table. And their strategy of looking for a job is to shotgun their resume. So they go online to all the job boards, pick keywords out, and just blast their resume with no cover letter to all these different places. It's kind of depressing, isn't it? They're kind of hoping that if they shove it out there to as many places, like a shotgun spewing pellets, maybe someone will take pity on them and give them an interview. That's what the job market has degenerated to with the aggressive candidates. I still think there's a role for advertising, but we're going to talk about how to kind of turbo boost it. All right, so that's group number one. Group number two is the selective candidate. This is the one who's consciously made the decision they're open to a new opportunity. Their self-actualization curve has declined, and they realize they're not learning, growing, having the kind of impact they'd like, and so they're open to a new opportunity. They're going on to the job boards, and they're looking at what opportunities are out there, and they're talking to their friends and buddies in other companies. They're discoverable. It's like doing a Google search. You can find them. They're going to come forward if we cast the net wide enough. Now, what's the problem with this selective group? It's in the title of the group. They're selective. So if they see 10 opportunities for a controller in Chicago, they may only apply to two. The job has to be described in extremely compelling terms because they already have a good job. They don't need your job. They're making a fair wage. They're having a good impact. No one's trying to shove them out the door, but they want a better, more challenging, better growth opportunity for their personal self-actualization. Our goal is to convey that to them.
Gary, on that topic, let me just put we have a couple questions that came in, if I could interject here. What's currently the best platform for showing current employees opportunities to those who are open to opportunities but not actively looking?
Are you saying leveraging your employees for referrals?
I think the question is more around what's the platform to identify people that are currently employed somewhere that aren't looking but tap into that market?
LinkedIn. But I'll get to that in a minute. I'll get to how to use LinkedIn and some of the tool, the techniques available. All right, so we just talked about the selective candidate. That's the sweet spot for every company. That's the group we want to go after. A, because they're open to having the conversation with you about a new opportunity. It's 50% of any candidate group that you could imagine looking at. And they've already consciously made that decision, and they're findable. They're either looking at ads online or they're talking to their friends, so you can get to them through networking. All right, so that's the sweet spot. Very quickly, the other two groups. Group number three is the sleeper. This is the person who is consciously open to making a move for the right opportunity, but they're not doing anything about it. They're not talking to their friends and buddies. They're not networking. They're not telling people they'd be open to it. They're not looking at the job boards. This is where you need a crowbar to pry them out of their current role. This is where you might turn to a recruiter like moi to help you extract that person. You need someone who can call these people, excite, nurture, and seduce them, or you have a personal relationship from a prior job or experience or some community thing you're doing, and they're open to taking the call from you and talking about it. It's very difficult to attract sleepers. Typical time period is 4 to 6 months. They don't have resumes prepared. They haven't even consciously thought about leaving their current company. So it's a lot of whining, dining, nurturing, seduction, engagement building, relationship development to convince them to leave. Again, come back to sweet spot is going after the selective candidate. And that's where social media can play such a great role. The final candidate is what I call the non-candidate. This is the person who never had any intention of taking your job from the moment you started talking to them. They're just kicking tires. They're trying to leverage you against another deal they've got or get a better offer in their current company. And our goal, and we could probably spend 3 hours on this one group alone, our goal is to eliminate those folks as early in the process as possible so we're not playing the Julia Roberts game of why am I drawing a blank, Dana, on the movie that she was in, where she gets to the altar, jumps on the horse, and goes in the other direction.
Can't think of the name either.
You guys all know which movie I'm talking about, but we don't want to play that game of, getting to the altar, making the offer, and then having an offer rejected. My perspective as a recruiter is once you get to the stage of an offer, it should be anticlimactic, that you should have 100% acceptance of every one of your offers. And the reason we don't sometimes is we allow people who were never going to take it in the first place to move through our process. We assumed that because you jumped through every hoop we put in front of you, when we get to the stage of giving you an offer, you'll take it. And that's not always the case. And as the economy begins to tighten up the job market, you're going to find more and more offers rejected. So we have to work really hard at excluding those folks who weren't going to take it in the first place. Okay. Developing a compelling marketing statement.
Runaway bride.
That was it, the runaway bride. We don't want to play that game. Thank you, Dana. Google can tell you everything, right? Developing a compelling marketing statement. It has four key components. If I look at 30 years of making these kinds of presentations to companies and organizations, trade groups, I would have to say that this one piece I'm about to share with you is probably the most popular piece. In our book, by the way, if you email me, not only will I send you the slide deck, I'll send you a PDF of our entire book that we've written as a bonus. If you get the book, go to the chapter titled How to Attract the Bottom Third of the Candidate Pool. If this was an open line, that actually I'd be hearing laughter, hopefully. I did that. I don't know if I did the punchline correctly.
Yeah, right.
The book's written a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but the most popular chapter is this chapter called How to Attract the Bottom Third, which goes into unbelievable detail on exactly how to write these compelling marketing statements, how to look at these different channels for sourcing people, and how to bring great talent to the table. It is by far the most popular, even right now, the most popular chapter in our book. Okay, back to our program. Four key components of a compelling marketing statement. Number one, it has a compelling headline. So instead of calling the job human resource manager, maybe we should call it chief talent or chief selection officer. Instead of calling the receptionist, remember, these are the headlines for advertising. This is what they teach entry-level copywriters on Madison Avenue is the most important part of writing ad copy. It's not the content. It's the headline. Because if you're not grabbed by the headline, it doesn't matter what's below it. Nobody's going to read it. Instead of calling the receptionist, oh, receptionist wanted or needed, maybe we should call the headline. Again, notice I didn't say job title. The headline, front office ambassador, chief creator, director of first impressions. Isn't that much more compelling than receptionist needed? I'll tell you a quick little story. A number of years ago, I was working for Chase Manhattan Bank, and I was doing a search for a senior person in their mortgage derivatives group. It's basically a quant jock role. Very technical, a lot of math. Little did I know at the time, this would be the group that would bring the entire economy to a complete standstill. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you the story. But right in the middle of searching for this role, out comes the movie, A Beautiful Mind. Anybody remember the movie? So I take the movie title and I graft it onto my advertisement as a headline. Do you have a beautiful mind? You know, quantitative research role. Unbelievable response, because that resonated with that group of people. I have a client that's in San Diego, California. They're an international company that runs very high-end, exclusive luxury resorts around the world. They were looking for a director of engineering. This is the person who's responsible at all the hotel properties to make sure the toilet paper roll works, the closet door slide, anything mechanically related in the room that enhances the guest experience fell under their portfolio. And they wanted to start using a lot of technology to manage the engineering function. I crafted a compelling statement of work. My headline was, ready, drum roll, my headline was, Captain Kirk needs another Scotty. And it resonated with that particular group of people. I wouldn't have done that for a marketing job. I wouldn't have done it for an HR job. But for an engineering-related role that wanted to leverage technology, it attracted an unbelievable response rate. So you can have a lot of fun with this. You can use movie titles, headlines. You can little play on the kind of business you're in. And it's unbelievable how many people actually respond to these types of things. Number two, you want to challenge the candidate. You want to have, after they've clicked on the headline, there should be one question that gets to the heart and soul of why would you leave your current role? What's the reason? So let's say you're trying to hire for a controller. Your question here might go something like, tired of being relegated to nothing more than a back office function? Now, controllers, CFOs, directors of finance who want to be more involved in the front end of the business in terms of doing budgeting and forecasts and cost studies and pricing analysis, they're going to go, oh my goodness, that's what I've been waiting for all this time. What's that one question that will get someone to literally look at this and go, I would regret if I didn't raise my hand? Number three, we want to paint an exciting vision of the future. One of the things that's come out of a lot of the studies of the post-baby boomer generation, the X's, the Y's, the millennials, the Nexters, I've probably forgotten three or four of them. They want to understand what's the vision, what's the path you're on, what's the journey. Am I compelled by that journey? So if I could literally reach out to everybody that's on this call and go one by one around the table, how many of you could describe in two or three pithy sentences what the vision is for your organization in 2 or 3 years? Could every manager describe that's going to meet the candidate? Is it hanging in your lobbies? Is it on the back of your business cards? That's the unifying message by which people want to come forward in the hiring process and why they want to stay with you. And then number four is we want to put in here what I'll call the success factors. What are the things that you're looking for people to do, the impact they're going to have? That's the number one thing they'll look at first, and it gets at self-actualization. This is where you would say things like, you'll launch 2 new proprietary products over the next 3 years that will increase our product line profitability by 30%. You'll help us put in a whole new set of dashboard metrics that allow the management team to make better decisions analytically and strategically. You'll help us reduce our quality problems by boosting quality from 96% to 98% over the next year by upgrading and installing a new quality system. What are they going to get to do? What's the impact they're going to have? What are the results, metrics, standards you're looking for them to reach towards? That's the most important thing they're going to look at. That's a whole different seminar and workshop, and hopefully Dan and I schedule something like that in a couple of months. We call that the success factors, and it is the most important and core element of hiring great people. Okay, but so we're just focused on the finding piece, not necessarily the defining element. All right, so now we know where people come from, and we know how to write a compelling marketing statement. As I said, that chapter in our book goes into great detail in that. Now we want to talk about how do we bring these people to the table, and then how do we leverage social media around that. So there's three really what I'll call ideal strategies to finding great candidates. Number one is referrals. Referrals of your employees, your vendors, your customers, your suppliers, your clients, or anybody who touches your business. We'll call them stakeholders. Every one of them has their own network, and every one of them is one degree removed from bringing the right person to the table for you for that hire. How do we leverage that? How do we engage those folks? Your strategy should be One of the questions I ask groups a lot of times when I present is, what percentage of all your hires comes from referrals? And the most common answer I hear is somewhere between 10 and 15%. Sometimes a little higher, maybe 20%, but that's pretty much the average nationally. Your minimum goal, when we get off the phone with each other going forward, should be 50% of all your hires come from referrals. Employees, customers, vendors, clients, subcontractors, the group that touches your business. Now, there's a number of ways that you can leverage social media to enhance that. Let's just talk about a few of those. Number one, can you have all of your employees post the compelling marketing statement on their Facebook feed? Are you putting the compelling marketing statement on your website or in some other place, and then having an automated tool that continually posts this to Twitter? Even though I don't think Twitter is a great tool for recruiting, probably 10 to 15% of all my candidates come from Twitter. I have a network of about 25,000 people that I'm connected to, and I have an automated little tool that takes 6 or 7 positions I'm continually working on and puts that out there with a variety of little statements and little sound bites, and then links back to the compelling marketing statement. Again, it's not a panacea. It's not the only solution, but it's one technique, as I said, an arrow in your quiver, that helps bring a percentage of candidates to the table for you. And particularly with the younger generations, that's one of their most dominant tools they use to get their news and information. Facebook is a great tool because many people, that's where their network resides. Friends, family, folks they've met, people at work. The problem with Facebook is it's a terrible tool to search for people because Facebook collects so little information about people's jobs and roles, unlike LinkedIn, which I'll get to in a minute. But from a sharing perspective of networking and referrals, it's a great tool. So we want to make sure that we're using that network for people to broadcast your opportunity out to their networks. And then to say something about, you know, you might have certain scripts that you give or certain statements or little sound bites or a video or an audio sample that you can share with your employees so they can post it out to their networks. I know there are some tools, particularly through some of the larger applicant tracking system vendors, that actually help you to automate this process of engaging your employees' networks on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever else they may be hanging out. How do you leverage those networks that your employees have to drive referrals through them? And it's constantly changing. The fascinating thing to me about the employment market is the use of technology. It's night and day difference where it was 5 years ago, and in over the next 2 to 3 years, I think other tools will continue to come onto the landscape for using social media, social recruiting, social networking to enhance networking with people and passing opportunities along to them. All right, so that's the referral piece. And our goal is 50% of all our hires should be coming through that channel. Number two, online advertising. I recommend that you still do this, but instead of posting the job description, you post your compelling marketing statement. And you want to post it in a variety of venues. Number one, pick one generic job board. Doesn't matter which one, because candidates that are looking at them all. And they're going to see it when they go through that search. So you don't have to have it on Monster, Career Builder, and Indeed. Just pick one. That's the generic job board. You also want to have it on a specialty job board if your candidate has any kind of specialty background. So if you're looking for plastics engineers, logistics professionals, folks in manufacturing, human resources, finance, there are specific industry trade groups that run their own job boards that you want to make sure you're on those specialty job boards because they're going to look there probably with a greater preference than on the generic side. Number three, LinkedIn has specialty groups that people join, and many of you may have joined these on your profiles, for things like the industry you're in, the geography you're in, the functional area you're in, the level of job you have, and we want to make sure that the ad, or at least a link to your ad, with a statement about the opportunity is in each of those groups. My learning over the last 5 or 6 years on this is folks are more likely to see your opportunity in one of those groups than on the generic job board of LinkedIn. Now, one of the interesting things about LinkedIn is you can post your ad on LinkedIn, pay for the ad, I don't know what it is now, like $395, and then you can automatically circulate it without having to do it manually into every one of the groups you belong to. I don't know if this is still the case, but you used to have the capability to join up to 50 groups. 50 groups is overkill. You'll never have 50 groups. But if you had 12 or 15 that were in that specific area, that might be a great source of broadcasting your opportunity through advertising. Again, the idea of broadcasting is it's very low effort, very low touch, high response. You get a lot of people that come through it, but you're not touching them. You're not engaging with them. The other strategy, and this is the third one, so the first one, again, was referrals. The second one was advertising. The third strategy is networking, or what I like to call one degree of separation. And this is where a tool like LinkedIn comes in very handy. This allows us to reach out to individuals specifically and begin a networking process. And hopefully they become your ambassador for sharing the opportunity with their networks and friends that they have. What's the great part of LinkedIn? You can target people because every word on their profile is searchable. You can target people with an extraordinary level of precision and granularity in geography, size of company, what the work they're doing, keywords on their background. And most professionals have some version of their resume online. You can target those folks. And if you send them a nice, warm, friendly note, what percentage do you think will respond to you? You're right. 50% will respond. 50%. When I send a nice little note that goes something like, Ellen, I came across your background on LinkedIn. I was impressed by some of the things you've done. We're currently trying to fill a role for an inventory control analyst. Would you be open to spending a couple of minutes with me on the phone networking about this opportunity? And 50% of the people you send that message to will respond with the proverbial, let me close my office door. What time would you like to talk? LinkedIn tries to sell a recruiting tool that they charge, I don't know what the current fee is, it's like $15,000 a year. For most companies, that's complete overkill. You know, if you're not GE and need multiple seats and have 15 people in the recruiting department, many times one seat and the same tools are available to you for $120 a month. LinkedIn calls this Recruiter Lite, and it is by far, and I've looked at a lot of them, by far the most effective system I have ever found for recruiting. It allows you to target people, touch them, save all the documents, notes, and interaction about them, see the whole series of conversations you've had with them all in one place, and it makes it very simple and intuitive to use. you might want to check it out. I think LinkedIn even offers the first month for free. And if you've got any questions about how to implement it or leverage it, by all means, reach out to me, send an email, and I'd be glad to show you how to use it. It's my dominant recruiting tool to start the process of networking and interacting with people. Now, I should put a caveat here, because many people think, oh, I'll send a note out on LinkedIn and someone will respond and we'll make a hire. If I look back in my career of executive search, let's say over 30 years I've done roughly 1,000 search assignments. I can pretty much confidently say that in 995 of those, the person who got the job was not the first person contacted. It was always a second to third to fourth level referral. And the great part about LinkedIn is when you reach out to folks, when they're not interested, they pass your message along to people in their network that are interested. So every touch is an opportunity for a referral. I get a lot of calls on a daily basis that go something like, Barry, you don't know me. You sent a note to John on LinkedIn. John wasn't interested. He passed it to Susan. Susan wasn't interested, but she shared it with me and suggested I get in touch with you because I have this kind of background. So it's a great sourcing, finding, recruiting tool for networking. You do these three things. The referral piece of reaching people through their networks in places like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, have your employees help to drive referrals of their networks to you. They almost become your ambassadors. The online advertising and broadcasting piece in places like the LinkedIn groups, on social media, you're broadcasting your opportunity. You're broadcasting it into specialty job boards, specialty websites. You've got it up on your own site. You're sending it out, by the way, to all of your employees so they can pass it along to people they know. And then finally, the networking one degree of separation piece, where you're specifically targeting candidates that are doing exactly what you want them to do and using a tool like LinkedIn, which is by far the best social networking piece for professionals. I guarantee that if you do those three things on a concurrent basis, you'll probably fill the vast majority of your jobs within a 3 to 5 week cycle.
Wow.
As I said, you are welcome to send me an email. I will be glad to send you this slide deck that, you know, we did this in 45 minutes. You'll see, it's about a slide deck covering 3 hours of content. I'll send you a copy of our book that we've written called You're Not the Person I Hired. And don't forget, the most popular chapter is the sourcing chapter titled How to Attract the Bottom Third of the Candidate Pool. With that, Dana, I will turn it back over to you. We're in our last 10 minutes to see if we have any questions or thoughts that folks would like to pose.
Perfect. Barry, that was amazing. You answered most of the questions on the chat box, so that was really great. We're going to open up the line in just a minute so you can talk to Barry directly. Just a couple things. Our next program will be on February 3rd. We'll be sending out invites for that. It's called Planning for the Next Recession Now. It's going to be a panel discussion. You won't want to miss that. As Barry mentioned earlier, this is the time to get your A-team together, recruit hard, get everything in place before that hits in 2019 or so. We'll be talking more about that. We'll be sending out the recording from today's program. You can email Barry directly for the slides. It's a very generous offer, Barry, for the slides, but also for your book. I call it the Bible of Hiring, and it's called You're Not the Person I Hired. It has everything A to Z, so that's very gracious of Barry to offer that. So let me conclude this portion, then we're going to open the line. So thank you, everybody, for attending. Before I turn off the recording feature, we've had people in the past that they don't want their voice on the recording, so we like to respect that. Since we have so many people on the program today attending live, I'm going to ask everyone to please put your phone on mute and then unmute your phone. Please don't put it on hold because we'll have music playing then. But put your phone on mute and then unmute your phone and you'll be able to talk to Barry. So let me turn the recording feature off and then we'll be right back in just a few seconds.